You shouldn't have to pay to use your own money. With total access checking from your Wintrust Community Bank, you'll get a free account and free ATMs nationwide. Bring it home to a bank that lets you keep what's yours without the fees. Find out more at wintrust.com/TAC.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
People across the UK voting to decide whether to remain in the European Union or to become the first country to leave it.
It's 10 o'clock in the United Kingdom and polling stations are now closed across the country.
The total number of votes cast in favour of leave was 82,000.
Yeah! Dare to dream that the dawn is breaking on an independent United Kingdom.
It appears as though the UK is heading for a Brexit, exiting the European Union. Let's check in on the pound, by the way.
It's at lowest level in some 30-odd years. It's off some 10%.
But I do believe it's in the national interest to have a period of stability and then the new leadership required. There is no need for a precise timetable today, but in my view, we should aim to have a new Prime Minister in place by the start of the Conservative Party conference in October.
Well, 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 look what you woke up to. Our number one ally is going it alone. You know, the European Union was founded to be a United States of Europe. It never quite worked out that way, and Britain always had sort of a, an adapted form of their membership. The pound was still the pound and so on. But immigration is the big argument there. We had a Supreme Court non-ruling yesterday on immigration, which kicked it back to a lower court. Again, thanks, Mitch McConnell. Very great of you. The 4-4 tie was very damaging here to at least get an appropriate outcome from the Supreme Court. Having said all of that, what it means for you this morning is unclear, other than the fact, don't look at your portfolio if you have one, don't look at your 401k, and don't listen to any financial news today. Sorry, Steve, because any financial news today is going to be bad.
Hey, wait a minute. Wait.
What? It's going to be bad.
That's true.
You can't react to it. If you're going to react to it, you had to take a guess yesterday and either go strong or go away, but don't overreact today.
As Orion says, there's always going to be a correction.
Yeah, and we don't know if the correction is going to be good or bad for you.
Right.
But reacting today would be a bad idea. David Cameron will step down sometime between now and October, and most likely in October. There'll be a new leader, frighteningly, for my friend Paul Coit, and many people I've spoken to in London the past week. It could be Boris Johnson, the Pete Rose haircutted former mayor of London. Or it could be this guy, Nigel Farage. It sounds like a Martin Short character. Nigel Farage.
Spelled like Farage or Farage.
Yeah.
Pronounced Farage.
Nigel Farage is the head of a party, something called the UKIP party, which basically, see if this sounds familiar, believes that white people are being screwed and that you got to take back your country. And the only thing he's missing are hats that say, make the UK great again. So Nigel Farage is the talk of the town today. And again, the people I've spoken to in London and London largely voted to stay, actually by a landslide.
Have you noticed you've never seen Donald Trump and Boris in the same room together?
You think they're the same people?
They kind of look like the same caricatures of each other, don't they?
Well, they certainly go into the same hairstylist.
Yeah, yeah.
Nigel Farage will not be the new prime minister. However, well, you know what? I shouldn't say that either.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say that because a year ago I would have said Donald Trump will never be president. The turnout there should, I don't know, encourage you or frighten the hell out of you, depending on what side you're on, because the turnout there was dramatically higher than expected. This referendum was called for by David Cameron because he felt like the far right wing of the political spectrum in the UK was taking over. And he said, well, let's give the people a vote, expecting full on that the people would vote to stay and it wouldn't be an issue. And, well, again, be careful what you wish for. So the UK has spoken. The question is, what does it mean for the rest of the European Union? It'll take a couple of years to play out, but there's already people screaming in France and screaming in other places saying it's our turn now. This puts tremendous pressure on Germany because Germany and England were basically writing the checks for everybody else in the European Union. England, again, is a part of this until they're not, so they're not off the financial hook yet. But Germany is in trouble, and Angela Merkel, who I think has done a terrific job there mm-hmm. and have been a great ally to America, is about to be kicked out of office.
Right.
So you can't, You know, the last time we had 27 disparate countries, and they weren't all countries at that point, we had World War II. Now, I don't want to be the Dark Knight here, but be careful what you wish for. That's all. Be careful what you wish for, and don't overreact today. Let the news play itself out and hear and listen and hear what you have to say. But again, Hillary Clinton is a fool. You get up in the middle of the night and you make a statement on this, and you don't let it run away from you because already Trump has the mic. And once he's done talking about how beautiful his golf course is, and nobody loves golf more than you and I.
And I've been to Turnberry. It's a beautiful course.
Yes, you have.
Not anymore. I'm not going to play there now.
But because of Trump's opportunity to have the mic first, you know, he controls the news cycle today.
And one addition to, you're right, don't panic. I know the euro fell against the dollar, and Steve talked about this earlier. It's at its lowest level since 1985, but a bit of reassurance today. The Bank of England governor is Mark Carney, and he sought to reassure the market, saying very early on, we are prepared for this. The Treasury and the Bank of England have engaged in extensive contingency planning. So they've taken all the necessary steps to prepare
for this. You know, it's funny, though. Does that give you any sort of, this is why you shouldn't look.
That's right.
Because what the hell, what does that mean? Contingency plan.
Don't ask.
In other words, they're going, hey, yeah, we got a plan. Are the mics off? What the hell's our plan?
It's Lou's First Call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran. Brought to you by American Weathermakers.
American Weathermakers, we won't be comfortable until you are.
First caller wins for Lou. You know, if Lou Manfredini were to leave the show, it'd be a Manfredexit.
What's that?
If you left the show, it'd be a Manfredexit.
Manfredexit. Yeah. Hashtag Manfredexit.
Manfredexit.
Yeah. Hey, can I ask you a quick question?
Yeah, sure.
I'm here at WGN Radio or Television Studios.
Yeah, this is the radio. The TV's the one with the pictures.
Well, but I'm here on a microphone, so it makes me sound feel like I'm on the radio.
Got it.
Yeah. And you know, the producer that produces for me here is the very talented Jeff Hoover.
Yeah, the Hoover. We know the Hoover.
The Hoover. We were just chatting when I was coming in. He and Dean, I'm sure Dean will talk about this later, but they got to interview Dick Van Dyke.
Yes, Dick Van Dyke is in town this weekend, Saturday night.
So anyway, very interesting stuff. But then he was telling me about something about trying to reach you to do some kind of benefit.
That I'm doing a benefit?
Yeah, you're doing a benefit in November, just so you know.
Okay,
November. I've already booked you, and I've put LifeLock on it, so you're locked in.
Okay, well, that's good news for me because I don't have enough on my schedule.
Well,
so November,
you figure November, you've got time. So you may want to contact him because you know all the details.
Do you know when in November?
In November?
Yeah, because the election.
It's on Thanksgiving. All day. It starts around 11, but there'll be pumpkin pie.
All right, well, that's fine because my concern is if Trump's elected, I'm going to be deported the next day.
Oh,
so.
Right. Okay, there might be that.
They may want a backup plan.
Right.
That's
you're already booked, so you just want to make sure you can approve all the images.
All right, fine. Thanks for that.
Okay, goodbye.
We're having a spirited discussion this morning about Erin McElroy's new short haircut. What's the word there on set?
I just walked in setting up, and I have not had a chance to talk to her, but I think it looks very cute.
Yes, lovely.
She's a lovely lady.
Yes, but what are we hearing around the people talking behind her back there at Channel 9?
Well, I can ask.
Yeah, well, you're the scuttlebutt. You know what you're hearing.
Yeah. Do we have a mic? Do we have an opinion on Aaron's new haircut? He hasn't seen it yet.
Okay, tell him it's on Channel 9.
It's on Channel 9. She's on Channel 9. This is Steve Cochran. What about Aaron's new haircut? She's got a new haircut. He's on WGN Radio right now. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Did he say who Steve Cochran
is? That hammering it?
No.
It's another mic.
It's a Mike Toomey.
Toomey. I haven't seen it. Oh, my.
Everybody walks in with their heads down. It's very early, you know. It's like over there, too, right? You know, nobody looks around.
Well, it's funny because people watching Channel 9 are listening here. They go, oh, my God, it's so exciting. You just walk in and it's like a 4th of July when you walk in the door. Now, it's like your place of business. You walk in, you go, holy crap, it's early.
I got to work all day.
April Airfare Wi-Fi, Airfare?
Airfare.
April Air Wi-Fi thermostat, allowing you to adjust the temperature of your home's air on your smartphone is brought to you by American Weathermakers, home of the 60-Minute Man. Call 855-955-HVAC. That prize, that terrific prize, goes to you, Evelyn. You're the first caller.
Hi. Good morning.
You're a big winner, Evelyn.
Oh, great.
What's the last thing you
nice
won?
Nice talking to you.
Nice talking to you. What's the last thing you won?
Nothing.
Well, you're a winner now. Right. What's your question for Lou?
I have a daughter that lives in Sugar Grove, and they have elderberry trees, and there's bugs that come on their home. Is there something they can use to get rid of it?
Mm-hmm.
Some kind of tiny bugs.
Mm. Are these elderberry bugs?
Yes.
Lou loves the bug questions.
All right, he likes the bug questions. Stand by, Evelyn. Mm.
So there is a concentrate that you can buy at the local hardware store called Bug Slayer, and it's bug with two G's. It comes in a small container, and you mix it with water and use a pump spray. They also have one that goes on the end of a hose. And on the side of the house, you're going to spray this. And it'll go on clear, so it won't damage the house, you know, the look of the house. But it leaves a little residual film on there. And
it's a wall. They can't penetrate that wall.
Essentially. And it when they go on it.
They should call it Trump.
It will. Right. It will kill the bugs.
So, oh, it kills the bugs. So they go in, they try to penetrate the wall, and they're dead.
And then they walk around it, and then they take it. Yeah, that's, it really does work. It works very well on a wide range of insects. It really does a nice job with box elder bugs, which are very difficult to eliminate, and they love the sunny side of the house.
Is that what Evelyn was talking about, box elders?
Might be, yeah.
Because I don't know what elderberry bugs are. I just made that up.
It sounds good.
Yeah, it does. Wasn't there an elderberry wine? Wasn't that an Elton John song or something?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or Boone's Farm. Was it Boone's Farm? That's what you and I used to drink, remember?
It was the $2 bottle of wine.
That and Bartles and James, remember?
Let's compare
in a box.
Let's compare our countries. In the UK this morning, they've abandoned ship. Here, we're talking about boxed wine.
Boxed wines. I'm going to bring over a box of Franzia, and we're going to have a great time. Do they still have that?
Remember that?
I think they may.
Do they still have do they still have wine coolers? Remember that in the 80s?
Sure, Bartles and James.
Yeah, did they
James?
Still,
James.
It was the first thing I ever asked for when when I went to college. I went up. We went to the bar. You know, well,
you go for a Bartles.
I shouldn't say I was legal when I first went to a bar.
Of course,
and
your
I asked.
Not listening,
no, I asked for a wine cooler, and the guy said, "Yeah, we have beer and we have beer.
Yeah, oh, beer or beer."
Yeah,
I said, I'll try the beer.
Both kinds.
I used to go in and just get Bartles.
That was
I was a bigger fan of Bartles.
Was the first bar at U of I was Cam's? Was that where you went?
Yes, it was.
Right,
Lou.
With the toilet in the middle of the room.
Yeah, it's still there, still stuck to the floor.
Is the toilet? Was the toilet? Oh, you know what? You're right. It was.
Yeah.
See, I don't remember, Lou, because I wasn't there that often.
No.
There were no doors on the stalls.
Right, there were no doors. I don't think they're still or not.
By the way, I was trying to get some current texts up, but the current text questions are from 2:24 yesterday afternoon. I don't think we were.
Can I answer those?
Oh no.
Yeah. So based on the speed which I'm able to update this program, we should be able to get this segment cranking around noon on Monday.
Oh,
does that work for you?
Hey, another quick question. Did I see via the Twitter that your own Mary Sandberg got engaged?
Mary Sandberg did get engaged to the lovely and talented Pat Boyle.
That's wonderful. Congratulations, Mayor.
Yeah, we like Pat, too. I mean, come on.
I know Pat, but I don't know him that well.
Yeah, you don't even seem like you're a fan of Pat. Why are you so down on Pat?
He's not very handy.
He's really not
very handy at all.
Right.
And thank you very much, Lou. And I'll tell you, on Father's Day, we had my mom and dad over for a burger. And I mentioned that we were sitting on the new patio furniture we got that I don't need to cover because you said I don't need to cover it. And I said, Lou Manfredini said, I don't need to cover it. And my dad said, did you have to bring him up? Apparently, my mom is in love with you because my father is not handy.
Yeah.
And so my mom says on the weekend they watch you and she said, well, Lou can do that. Lou can do this. So he's been hearing that for a long time.
I'm sorry.
I think here's the thing, though. If you check with Lou's wife, she'll tell you he's a terrible husband.
Right.
Hey.
You know, he's got a nice tool belt, you know, and he can fix
like I need help from you. Okay. Like I need any help.
Honestly, that's a great question, though. What does your wife complain about with you? Like, what's the number one complaint about Mr. Perfect Husband, Lou Manfredini?
The list is way too long.
Number one complaint.
Maybe that he's not home a lot.
Yeah, never home.
How about you two not answer for him?
we know how she thinks.
I know, MB.
It is such a female instinct. I'll fill in the dead spot. Let me talk. No, I want to hear it from Lou.
Gosh, the number one complaint?
See, he doesn't even know.
Yeah. There's too many.
Typical guy.
About.
Can't even figure it out.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Just an outrage. Here's another woman in love with Lou. Lou, how can I motivate my husband to work on my house even a little bit?
Mm. The whole risk and reward method, you know,
So you're saying treat him like a dog?
Well, you know, if you do this, I'll give you a treat.
It's going to go down the wrong road.
Been married a long time. It works.
Dear Lou, what's a better paint to use outside, oil or outdoor latex?
Well, the outdoor oil is tricky because there's not a lot of manufacturers left. And I will tell you that latex exterior paints have come such a long way. And this Clark & Kensington paint that actually is exclusive to our friends at Ace was rated as the number one exterior paint by Consumer Magazine a couple years ago. It's such a super sticky, wonderful flowing paint that I have no qualms about saying to you, use that in place of an oil. The trick is always prep. You've got to sand it, and you've got to clean the exterior first and then do a little light sanding to expose the film a little bit so that it sticks. But if you do that, you're going to have wonderful results.
Texter from 708 says, we're an English tutor with stucco, real stucco, and stucco and cedar trim. Is Rhino board okay for stucco? The best
Rhino
way to replace
shield.
A Rhino shield.
Yeah.
This is Rhino board. Is it a good thing to use and not hurt your stucco?
Okay, so the Rhino board is probably a synthetic material to do, you know, what she's talking, or he or she is talking about, the stucco has a board and batten, so you've got a stucco wall, and then you've got a picture frame of some wood. And synthetics in that application are not bad. It's not going to ruin the stucco, but it's all about the installation to make sure that you get the old stuff off properly and then the new material gets sized correctly to fit into those gaps, and then it gets caulked. So using synthetics in that situation is fine.
All right, and if you want your husband to do some work around the house.
Who wants a treat? Come here.
Let me see. It says, start the project yourself, and then he'll eventually take over. It always works for me, signed Kelly.
Hmm.
You know, because a guy goes,
right. Come on, you can't do that.
You can't do that, or I'm never going to hear the end of that,
right,
or you're going to do it wrong.
Right,
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
I mean, I have a few things at my house, too, that I need to get done. It's just I need to be home to do them.
So that's the number one complaint?
Yeah.
All right. I'd like to thank Mary and Andrea for helping you out. Lou should, buy you guys lunch.
Okay.
Lou does a lot for me.
Sure.
He's a good guy.
I'm happy to buy him.
That takes him away from home again, though.
You know where you should take your morning show staff, Steve, for breakfast?
Yeah, where?
You know where you should take him? Have you been to the new place, Cindy's?
Yeah, that's awesome. Up on the rooftop of the CAA.
Steve, take your whole staff there for a post-show brunch.
He'll have to take a small loan out, but we could go to Cindy's.
Yep. Where is Cindy's?
It's on top. It's the rooftop of the Chicago Athletic Association.
It has a balcony that looks over. Over Millennium Park. It is spectacular.
It's wonderful.
They serve breakfast.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but
again,
about lunch,
you're going to have to take a small loan out.
Oh,
to take
Steve?
Us.
He's Steve Cochran.
I hear somebody say we're going to breakfast? What?
It's the only way to wake Grisanna up. A food reference.
He's awake.
It's like, remember the old Bugs Bunny or the Flintstones? Remember the Flintstones? Like when Fred would smell food, he'd be sleeping and he wouldn't even wake up, but he'd float into the kitchen
with
where the
toes
bacon
twinkling.
Was going.
Yeah, his toes twinkling.
Yeah. Yeah. Steve dozes off between casts, but as soon as somebody mentions food, he's like a sniper in the night. He's
I'm
ready.
I'm telling you, it's a good one. You got to take the whole staff there, Steve.
All right, Cindy's, huh? Mm-hmm. They have a drive-thru?
No, they do have an elevator, though.
I just heard the steak is $160. That seems good for breakfast.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah. I'm looking at the menu here.
It's team building.
Scrambled eggs, $95.50.
They're really good, though. They're cage-free.
Cindy made them.
Yeah, who's Cindy? Do we know?
Cindy Pritzker. It's named for Cindy Pritzker.
Pritzker. No wonder. Oh. What do they call it? Cindy's and not Pritzker's.
Right. It's true.
Right.
Is there a cover charge for breakfast?
Well, they do. You can refinance your car as you pull up.
Do me a favor, because I know you got to go to do TV. We have stuff to do because we can't keep this nonsense up. Go up behind Erin McElroy and go up
run
to her
my
hair.
Run my fingers through her hair.
Run her fingers
and
through
fired,
her hair.
Have just HR go, come and fire me.
Gucci, Gucci, Gucci. And tell her it's from us.
Okay.
Thank you, buddy.
Love you.
Love you back. It's American Weathermakers, our friends at American Weathermakers, who bring you Lou and Lou's first call.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
What I like is that I love to see people take their country back. And that's really what's happening in the United States. And I think you see that. And that's what's happening in many other places in the world. They're tired of it. They want to take their countries back. And, you know, this isn't such a phenomenon like some people are saying. And when people ask me what I thought was going to happen, as you know, I said, I think they're going to break away. And it's just turned out that way.
Yeah. Tom Rivers from ABC News in just a second. We'll get back to another traffic update in a moment as well. But we want to thank, well, it's because of the generosity of Pat Brady. We sat at a table last night at the Gilda's Club gala at the
Four Seasons.
Yeah, that dive down the street.
Yeah.
At the Four Seasons. And Sheriff Tom Dart and his wife, lovely folks.
Mm-hmm.
Lance Trover, and I don't think this is a secret, he announced his engagement. I hope I'm not giving that up to everybody. Apparently I just did. But Lance,
it's going to be a big surprise for her this weekend.
Yeah,
no.
Lance, congratulations. Lance does communications for Governor Rauner's office. But, you know, listen, everybody at Gilda's Club, just an amazing, amazing organization. You remember the little girl that was on a couple of weeks ago on Kid of the Week, who talked about her dog making bad decisions.
Yes, and she was there too.
Yeah, her whole family was there, and she's fighting the disease. And her brother made a wonderful speech. Just a really sweet family. And it's another thing, you know, wherever you are, whatever you're doing today, you get up, just say prayers for how lucky you are, and wish the best for everybody that's going through something like that.
She was so cute. There was a wonderful event. I said to her and her sister, because they're young, I said, did you guys see Finding Dory? And they went, oh, yeah, we saw that a few days ago. So I said, well, would I like it? Should I see it this weekend? And they just started laughing.
Yeah, they go,
okay. Is that okay, old lady?
Yeah, you could go, but you should bring your hearing aid. Tom Rivers joins us from ABC News. You're in London. Is this your fault?
It ain't my fault, but boy, I tell you, people aren't talking today. You got one camp, the jaws are down. And the other camp, they're kind of looking like Cheshire cats. So they're not talking. And who knows? There could be some fights in the pubs tonight. Who knows?
You know, we certainly underestimated the anger here, and we underestimated Trump here. Do you feel like Cameron, or is there a feeling, I should say, that Cameron underestimated the will of the people?
Interesting. You know, the polls, all saying very, very close on a knife edge for weeks and weeks and weeks. If you look at it in a different way, with maybe a different lens cover, and this one is called the lens cover of passion. The passionate argument was to leave. It was not very passionate to say, well, you know what the EU is all about. We don't really like it that much, but we don't really want to hop out of that box. It's not the sexy, if you will, choice. But the other side certainly was. They're pounding their chest saying, enough is enough. Let's get out of here. And that certainly resonated with enough people to push this baby forward. And this is a whole new world we're entering over here now. It's going to take a couple of years to detangle themselves from the EU.
It's like a bad reality show, though. And you know, England invented most of them. Because my understanding is after 2 years, if the other countries don't agree and the UK doesn't agree on the exit plan, they're just out.
Yeah. Well, there was the statement now from European Union commissioner saying, we want this cut quick, people. We don't want this thing dragging on. So they want to do it as quickly as humanly possible, but it still will take time. David Cameron is not going to be the guy doing it. He says, look, I was on the wrong side of the argument. We'll get somebody in with fresh ideas and initiative and somebody that wants to see this forward. So we'll see somebody else. And he thinks by the October conference of the Tory, the Conservative Party here, somebody will be in place. So a new name in the frame going to be dealing with all of this detailed work. Lawyers, lordy, they're going to make a lot of money in the next couple of years here.
Is it Boris Johnson, the former mayor, or is it George Osborne, the Minister of Finance? Is there anybody else whose name is by? Is it Trump?
It's not Trump. Trump, though, said, you probably heard the bite by now. He's in Scotland today, and he says, look, I knew this was going to happen.
Yeah,
I certainly had a good feeling about it.
Oh, yeah, he knows everything.
So that's what he said. It's not going to be George Osborne, because he's if you will, damaged goods now because of this outcome.
Right.
So it's not going to be him. It could well be Boris. And Boris is he's kind of charismatic. You probably remember him during the Olympics. He's an interesting guy, let's put it that way.
Last one from Andrea, just a second here.
So, Tom, this is binding, yes. I heard something very early on this morning, someone saying, well, we could take another vote. They can bring it up to a vote again. That's it. This is it.
This is it. That's what the European Commission is saying. Look, we're not going to have do-overs. And in theory, Parliament could say, okay, I've heard your referendum and we reject it. That's not going to happen because then you'd have people marching in the streets. So that's not going to. This is the deal. And Britain's going to be out. and it's going to be pretty nasty for the next year or two. And if they get it wrong, it's going to be nasty for a whole lot longer. If they get it right, they're the fifth largest economy, and they can, you know, go their own way. But they gotta, you got to cut your own deals with Washington, with Canada, with Norway, with fill in the blank. It's a lot of pencils and a lot of erasers.
Thanks, Tom. I know you got to run. I appreciate it. Tom Rivers from ABC News, and he is in London and in the middle of all of it. We'll take a break, come back, and continue on 720 WGN. If you're waking up to this news of the Brexit, the British exit from the European Union, and you're going, yeah, so how's it affect me? Again, your 401k is going to have a bad day, and economically things could change. A worst-case scenario here is everybody in the EU goes their own way. They all split up, and you have this separation and this independence of everybody without help from other nations, and the EU goes back to a pre-World War II state. Not a great idea. Union is better. Together is better. Trump has already spoken on it because he was accidentally in country, or at least in kingdom at the same time. He was in Scotland to open up the redo of Turnberry, which he now owns. And that's another thing is Trump's running for president and he's still running his business. So now there's increased pressure to turn it over to Ivanka and get serious about running for the White House if you're going to do it. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if you know this. He's built a terrific company. It's a huge company.
You were joking before.
Terrific company.
They were all wearing hats today that said, make Turnberry great again.
Ooh, adorable. and Hillary Clinton, the worst candidate ever, still hasn't spoken on this. And by the way, nobody should be speaking on it because it's our number one ally's business. But since Trump spoke first, for her not to talk is ridiculous.
Ugh. She'll talk. She'll talk sometime today about it.
Yeah, sometime. Meanwhile, Donald Trump controls the morning again. So this reinforces Trump's opinion that immigration is a huge story and that we've done nothing about it. President Obama failed on this. He could have been on this when he had a Democrat-controlled Congress. He didn't. And now yesterday, a 4-4 tie. And if you see reporting on the Supreme Court decisions from yesterday, don't buy into the Supreme Court decision was made yesterday on the president's executive order. It's not a decision. It was a 4-4 tie. That's not a decision. The tie means in the Supreme Court that it's kicked back to the lower court decision that already stood, which is another reason that that astronomical failure, Mitch McConnell, who hasn't called a vote in the Senate on Merrick Garland, the Obama nominee for the Supreme Court, and therefore empowering the third separate but equal branch of the government to its fullest extent. There's another example yesterday. So you get a 4-4 tie in immigration that kicks it backwards. So in the middle of all of this, it's better news for Trump. Trump's been bleeding severely in the last month. This is a good morning for him. Plus, he's probably going to play 18.
But yeah, it's a new Turnberry, yeah.
You got the president yesterday on this. Listen.
Nor do we have a Congress that's willing to do even its most basic of jobs under the Constitution, which is to consider nominations. Republicans in Congress currently are willfully preventing the Supreme Court from being fully staffed and functioning as our founders intended, and today's situation underscores the degree to which the court is not able to function the way it's supposed to. The court's inability to reach a decision in this case is a very clear reminder of why it's so important for the Supreme Court to have a full bench.
Executive action should not be used by the president unless in exceptional circumstances. But maybe the fact that Congress won't do anything, wouldn't that be an exceptional circumstance? And everybody that wants to talk about Obama and his executive actions, do a little history. It takes about two clicks on the internet to see that every president does executive actions. And the last time I looked, Reagan was still way ahead of President Obama. It's a couple minutes before 7. Your leadership in Springfield and in Washington continue to fail you. That's why this morning we're doing a Steve exit, a Stexit. We're all leaving. It's a couple minutes before 7 on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Woo! Woo!
Ow!
Love that money!
Money, 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 money! Money, 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 money!
7:10 in the morning, and we continue. Elise Glink standing by. We have several things to discuss here. But in the meantime, Elise, the Stexit is on. That's the Steve exit. The Stexit is we're all moving to Greenland because we can't go to England now. We can't go to England. That was our plan. If Trump's elected, we go to England. We can't go there now. So we're going to Greenland. It's halfway in between.
I thought we were going to go to Canada.
Canada's nice, but it's a little close, and I feel like the damage that could be caused by a Trump administration could filter over.
You don't think the Mounties will be enough? Maybe they'll build a wall.
Have you seen Dudley Do Right? Come on. Nell! My horse, Nell! Add that. That's one of the Steve Cochran 10,000 voices. You know, I do two. Add that to one of the voices.
Okay, so now we got number three.
Yeah, I got Dudley Do Right.
Got it.
All right, Elise, so the immediate impact is don't look at your 401k today, right?
Yeah, I would definitely not pull up CNBC.com where they have blinking red lights. It's almost like neon going Dow down, Dow down. Futures look pretty awful. You just heard that in the news. But they're bad all over the world. It's interesting to see just how much the world was not expecting this to be the vote. I think people thought, like with Scotland leaving, you know, Great Britain, that this everybody was going to come to their senses and vote the way that the world's moneyed wanted them to, and they didn't. And it has, I think, a lot of implications. I think some of the implications are completely unknown, but one of the first things that popped into my head this morning was I wondered just how long it'll take for the rest of the euro to unravel.
And that question is largely dependent on how people react to this, right?
I think partly it is. I think that the, you know, Britain's pound never joined the euro. They never had that as their, they took it. You know, if you went to London, you could pay with the euro. But they never, you know, the pound was the pound. So they don't have to separate that piece of it. But a lot of the strength of the EU is, of course, Britain. It's a very large trading partner. It's a very solid and stable government. They tend not to have a lot of scandals. I mean, the royalty do, but not everybody else. And it's been kind of a very quiet and solid there for a few years. And so this is just going to be very, very upsetting to the way people think about the European Union in general. And then, of course, the euro as a monetary currency.
Now, the one significant difference here, obviously, is that we were not part of a union. So in how it impacts us is different than how it impacts them. And the turnout and vote there needs to be recognized as well, because 52% to 48% is a landslide when you have 72 or 75 or 80% of the country voting, whatever the number is.
It was interesting to see where people voted. Scotland voted firmly to remain. Wales voted to leave,
right,
which is so interesting. I mean, I spent a year of my life in Wales. It is one of the most beautiful countries I've been to, and it's relatively empty. There's a lot of mountains and a lot of sheep and not a lot of anything else.
Do you live in a castle?
Yeah, I did not live in a castle, but I visited castles.
I thought all they had in Wales were castles.
I know. I guess my dorm is a reformed castle. But anyway, and then if you look around London, that whole huge area, it's bigger than Greater London, but there's a big, you know, yellow splotch on the map for they voted to stay. And then everywhere else voted to leave. And it's just interesting to think about the dichotomy of who's voting to leave. So we talked about this the other day. It's people less educated, who are older, who are more worried about the immigration crisis and the migrant crisis, worried about their jobs, and the people who want to stay are by and large younger, more educated, feel like there's more of an interconnectivity with the world and with the EU, and it's just, this is a complete split.
Elise, it's not that different than what's happening.
No,
here. It's
I...
not, but 30% of the Republicans have voted for Trump.
Right.
That's 52% of everybody that voted to leave. So it's a bigger deal there.
It is. Elise, I got a text this morning. Friends of mine are going to London in 2 weeks. So how will this affect tourists? Is this one of those situations? It's a good time to go, or it doesn't really affect us at all? If you're
traveling. The pound is down. So, and it's down by a lot. I think it fell 10% overnight, which means that your dollar will buy a whole lot more in merry old England. So this is a good time to go. I think we're going to be seeing the hotel chains, especially ones that are maybe international chains like Marriott or Four Seasons or the Ritz, whatever, those kinds of chains, I think they're going to normalize their prices. You see this a lot when you go to places like Mexico where, you know, the money, you know, kind of moves a lot, and they'll start pricing their hotel rooms in dollars rather than local currency. And you may start to see that abroad as well, especially for U.S. visitors. But, yeah, if you're going next week, boy, enjoy that. You can just have the biggest pile of chips and fish ever.
Yeah, and it's 10% off, which means it's only $75 American.
There you go.
So that's great.
That's a bargain. Tell your friends to try Wagamama. Really great food.
Wagamama. I'm texting you right now.
That's the chain in London.
No, she's pranking you. Wagamama's an insult. She's totally pranking you.
I believe you, Elise.
Wag your mama. All right, so listen, before we wrap this up, there was something else we were going to talk about today before we realized that the Brits had also lost their minds.
Yeah, so this is there's a scam that's coming around that I hadn't actually seen in this form in a while for the IRS. So it's not really tax time, and you wouldn't really expect scammers to be doing tax scams. But what they are doing is they are calling and either catching people directly on the phone or leaving voicemail messages that are terrifying. And the message that a friend of mine, who's a reporter, got was, this is the IRS. We have been trying to contact you for 5 years. You have underpaid your taxes. In 45 minutes, we're sending the sheriff to come and arrest you.
And this happened to Andy Mazur. This happened to Andrea. Mm-hmm. But, Andy, it happened to you this week?
Yeah, it happened to me. And I actually answered the phone because I was curious. And I asked the guy who was calling me for his name and his badge number.
Right, because you knew it was a scam.
Because I knew it was a scam right away, because the IRS never calls you.
Or they, right.
That's right.
Yeah. So I kind of challenged him on it, and he hemmed and hawed and said that I ignored two letters that were sent to me about a lawsuit or something to that effect.
Yep.
And then I said that that's incorrect. And he said, okay, well, you won't feel like it's incorrect when the police show up at your door in 45 minutes. So I said, hey, why don't you hang on the phone with me so I can show you that they're not going to be here in 45 minutes. And he hung up.
Well, good for you. Yeah. I think what a lot of people are falling for is the police are coming to your door, or in this case, the sheriff. And when my friend called me, she was absolutely in a panic. And I said, hey, think about it. IRS is federal. They would never send a sheriff. They would always send federal marshals. And she just she burst out laughing because, of course, it's Tommy Lee Jones coming. It's not, you know, the local sheriff from Cook County.
We're going to need a perimeter.
And that would be okay, that part.
But this is a very scary thing. There are a lot of seniors falling for it. And suddenly it goes in waves, right? All these different scams. This is a week where it's kind of popped back in again. And I think a lot of seniors are getting these phone calls. And I just want everybody to know, like you did, Andy, this is not true. The IRS will never contact you this way. And if you haven't paid your taxes in 5 years, you'll get lots of letters from them.
And the IRS,
don't worry.
The IRS will never, ever, 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 ever call you by phone. They don't do it. As a matter of fact, they don't have phones. Try to call the IRS.
And they don't send emails either.
Nope.
So that's a very popular phishing scam. But it's not tax time. If you paid your taxes, you can just let this go. You don't owe anything.
Certified letter will come to your door, and another certified letter will come to your door, and another certified letter will come to your door, and then Tommy Lee Jones.
Right. I'm waiting for him.
I got audited, and Tommy Lee Jones never came to my door.
Oh, he was busy. He was working on Mazur's case.
You should have signed up for the other audit.
Yeah.
ThankGlink.com for all things Elise. Thank you. Steve Cochran Show continues. And joining us now in studio is Tommy Lodge. Tommy Lodge has a very cool thing. I love this idea, this donate your passenger seat idea. Mm-hmm. It's a very cool idea. Tommy's American Cancer Society Senior Market Manager for Community Engagement. It's a long title that means what? You come up with cool ideas and try to get us involved?
Yes, I'm directly responsible for all of them. Yeah.
Every good idea ever.
Yes. Yeah, so basically what it means, I'm out there in the community and community engagement, and the American Cancer Society Road to Recovery program is one of the big pushes that we have, because those who face those words, you have cancer, the second biggest barrier they have outside of the financial is transportation. Like, how am I going to get to all these appointments, my radiation, my chemo? And you don't want to be a burden on your family that has to work and support your friends. So we have an all-volunteer program for people who can drive between Monday and Friday, and we connect them with patients who need rides to and from their treatment.
It's like Uber without the surge pricing.
Exactly.
And the cool thing is, too, in my opinion, you also eliminate one of the excuses for people to not get involved and to try to stay in denial. You save lives, really.
Right. You really do save lives, because you know that person, you know, Tommy, is coming to pick you up on Tuesday, and you develop relationships with these people. And if you don't show up, I'm going to call you. I'm going to see what's going on. It's a really tangible way to give back, and you sort of feel great about it because you get to know people in their time of need, you know.
It's a cool idea. How'd you get involved in this?
Well, I've been in the nonprofit world for a long time. So the American Cancer Society is the largest voluntary public health organization. It has 5,000 employees, and it sort of touches every community in the United States. You know, like, you've never been anywhere without a Relay for Life or just sort of some direct local support. So I like working with volunteers who are fulfilled by this. Sure. And maybe not in their day jobs. And you definitely are fulfilled by things like Road to Recovery.
So where do the drivers come from? All aspects of life?
All aspects of life, yeah. So we've got, you know, it is between Monday and Friday. So if you have a traditional 9-to-5, it might be a little more challenging. But we do have some businesses that subsidize this and support this for their employees, let's say as employee volunteering day or some sort of program. Cool. So businesses can give back. They can give us parking spots. They can work with employees. But we do have a lot of people with non-traditional hours. A lot of retirees can just sort of sign up. They can go to cancer.org/drive or call 1-800-227-2345 and sort of sign up. It's very simple. Training takes an hour. Kind of thing.
Cancer.org.drive? /drive.
Yes.
And what was the number again?
1-800-227-2345.
2345. Other than having a driver's license and being a good person, any other requirements?
There are a couple. You have to be between 18 and 85, which I think is most of your listening audience.
Uh-huh.
You have to have a good driving record, insurance, and then they'll do a background check, of course. And then you can do the training either online if you're more comfortable with that, or if you want to talk to a human, you can definitely do that too.
And for folks that go, I really want to help, but I don't know that I'm comfortable helping people that are quite ill, I don't have any medical training, that type of thing. What do you say to them?
I would say, you know, we make sure that you feel supported. There are coordinators for the volunteers that answer these sort of questions, like, what am I supposed to do in A situation or B situation? It doesn't happen very often, but we do prepare you with certain, you know, healthcare packs and sort of like first aid should something happen. But you really are just taking them from point A to point B.
It's a great idea, and it's one I hadn't thought of. But when I think back, my mom was quite ill near the end of her life, and she had nothing but doctor's appointments.
Yeah.
And since I didn't live, you know, in New York where she was, you know, flying back and forth occasionally, a lot of our time was taken up by going to the doctors because she would, you know, move them all into that space of time.
Right.
So it's a burden on people, and when they're sick, they shouldn't have to face that kind of burden. So this is it's a help.
Right. People don't want to feel like they're a burden. And there are people out there with time on their hands. Maybe they're listening right now, and you'd feel really great if you did this. And trust me, some people would very much appreciate it. We provided over 1,200 rides last year in the city of Chicago to people, but we can always give more rides if we have more volunteers. It's directly proportional. So,
Tommy Lodge, you're a good guy.
Well, thank you, Steve.
Yeah, you are. Yeah. American Cancer Society, Senior Market Manager for Community Engagement, cancer.org/drive, 800-227-2345. And there are no bad questions, right? No stupid questions. Call and ask anything you want.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
And you'll talk to him about driving. Good to see you.
Yeah, thanks so much for having
me. Have a great weekend.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Anybody else got an allergy thing going on today? My eyes are crazy itchy today. Glad you said
it's
that.
Insane today.
Do we have my pirate patches that I could wear over both eyes?
Need some eye drops?
Probably wouldn't be a bad idea, huh?
Oh, sorry, I don't have any.
All right, appreciate you bringing it up.
Thought I did. Oops.
Lori Bitchell is Executive Director for Corporate Marketing and Communication at the CME Group, and our friends at CME. We've had a wonderful partnership with CME forever. We always appreciate it. But you're here to bring us some good news, and we need some good news today.
I am. I'm here to talk about some scholarships that we've been awarding in the city of Chicago to graduating seniors, Steve.
So these are kids that are leaving high school.
Right.
And they're going on to the next level, the next step.
Yes,
most
sir.
Cases, that's college, obviously.
Yes, sir.
And do you help guide them in whatever they're looking for? Or how does the scholarship actually work?
Well, we've been doing this for 30 years, more than 30 years, Steve. We've had the scholarship program along with the mayor's office and the CPS. Through that time, we've provided more than $1.4 million to 1,700 graduating seniors in the city of Chicago. Yeah, really great. And this year we awarded scholarships of $1,000 to almost 80 kids graduating and going on to college. And then we also have a special part of that program where 4 students were also awarded paid internships with trading firms. And that's what we're here to talk about today.
We are. Bailey Street is at William Jones, or was at William Jones College Prep High School, and it will be working for ADM Investor Services. Jaden Fallow, am I pronouncing that right?
You are.
At Walter Payton College Prep. Will be at Advantage Futures, and Nicholas Zhu, Northside College Prep at XR Trading. Here in studio with us is Philip Alpern. Good morning, Philip.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing good.
Philip, you're at Lane Tech?
Yes.
Did you see the statue of Anna DeVonsis and Patty Vasquez?
I've seen her picture inside the school.
Well, big shots, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. And at Lane Tech, you decided to enter this program how?
I was nominated by my counselor, and then I filled out an application consisting of extracurricular activities, two essays, one that focused on my business experience through my leadership as a vice president of Key Club, organizing fundraisers with local businesses.
Look at you, a rainmaker in high school.
Yeah.
So you get the scholarship, and this gives you an opportunity for a paid internship before you go to college. Let me tell you something, pal. This doesn't happen. You usually have to wait to your junior year in college, and then it's super competitive. You have such a leg up on everybody now.
Sure.
It's very exciting.
It is very exciting.
Yeah, and thanks to CME. It was very visionary of CME. Who started the program way back in the day?
We started in 1986. Our leadership at the time started the program. And, you know, we were really pleased with the partnership that we have with trading firms in the city, Steve, because they're the ones that offer these paid internships to students like Philip. You mentioned ABN AMRO, XR Trading, ADMIS, and Advantage Futures, just a few of the firms that have participated with us over the years to offer these really great and unique opportunities to graduating students.
Well, that's exciting. ABN AMRO, have you started work yet?
Yes. This is my second week working there.
And, you know, listen, I salute your confidence, too, because it's pretty intimidating to walk into a major trading firm like that.
Yeah, it's been a really exciting time in my life, graduating high school. I turned 18 a week ago. So to have all this play out, it's really exciting.
Now that you're working all day, do you feel like maybe I didn't want to be a grown-up?
No, it's been a lot of fun, a lot of freedom compared to high school. I've really enjoyed the different opportunities and projects that I've gotten to take on.
I know one of the things CME does is, regardless of whether you're a major trading firm or small, they have to, you know, they're all vetted to make sure they're right for CME's partnership as well. So I assume they're giving you work that you're learning about right away?
Sure. I've been doing reports on reducing employee attrition and different ways to recruit new workers. I've been scheduling executive meetings.
Really?
Yes.
Cool.
I'm putting you to work right away, man.
Yes.
That's tremendous. So do you find yourself at the end of the day really excited and you can't wait to go back?
Yeah, I enjoy my work every day.
And by the way, I think we mentioned this, paid internship.
That's right.
Yeah, so you're not going in going, hey, Mr. Cochran needs coffee.
No.
You're going in, you're cracking, you're getting after it.
Yeah, getting real experience inside the office.
So. What do you think you'll want to do? I know it's early, but what do you think you'll want
to
do?
I'd like to pick up a double major in finance as well as actuarial science. I'm a
That's what I did.
Numbers
I was,
guy.
I was a finance and actuarial science guy. That's how I got this gig.
Yeah.
Explain what actuarial science is.
Actuarial science is a field that involves insurance. It's a lot about using predictive modeling to predict different trends in healthcare.
And helps a company manage its risk.
Yes.
Because you can financially plan for the future.
Yes.
Yeah. So basically, like if you look at Andy Mazur to your left, you're trying to figure out when Andy Mazur will buy the farm. And then you can decide how much he is going to cost the company.
Sort of, yeah.
Good answer.
Never like to
admit
it,
but young man, Philip, you're going to go far in this world. Well, I'm very excited for you, but I'm also very thankful that CME does this. So for moms and dads listening now and goes, my kid next year could be eligible for this program.
Yeah.
You don't have to wait for a counselor, right? Go and ask.
Yeah, so every CPS high school is eligible to participate. They help us provide applicants. We look at the essays that come in, like students from Philip submit, talking about innovation, academic interests, extracurriculars. They also need some recommendations from teachers or counselors. And then we narrow the field from there to scholarship winners and eventually internship recipients as well.
And when do seniors start making those applications? Spring of their senior year?
They start in the spring of the senior year, and the awards are usually in May.
All right. So if you got a senior next year, mom and dad, start nagging
right.
them now.
Right.
Actually, you know what? I shouldn't say that because kids like this don't need to be nagged. Kids like this, as soon as they find out about it, they're all over it and they're after it.
We have really impressive students that have come through this program, and we love that they come back to the industry year after year. It's got a great legacy in the city of Chicago, but also in our industry, teaching the next generation of leaders more about the futures industry.
You've had such a history there. I mean, you've probably already done this, but it'd be cool for for people to see a follow-up of what those 30 years ago and 25 years ago kids are doing now.
Yeah, and we do have relationships. We worked with someone at the mayor's office that was a mayoral intern a number of years ago. Some folks at trading firms have participated in the program. Some of our employees have participated in the program. So it's got a great legacy.
Well, thanks to everybody at CME Group. And, Philip, I couldn't be more excited for you, Bill.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I'm sure your mom and dad are really proud.
Yes.
Have a great summer. Work hard. And do you know where you're going to school in the fall?
U of I down in Champaign.
Oh. There we go. Yeah, ILO.
Look at this.
I-N-I.
Have you practiced with them? Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm going to have to teach you, ask you wow wow. And I'll tell you where all the good places.
How about the ILL?
Sure, yes.
I-N-I.
Yeah. I-N-I.
Yeah. You got to learn that. We'll tell you where all the good restaurants and places to study are.
Philip, don't listen to Andrea or Mary Vandeville. Just go back to work.
Okay.
Congratulations.
Thank you, Laura.
Thank you, Steve.
Nice to
be here.
See you. Thanks, CME. Back after this on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
And to those who may be anxious, whether at home or abroad, this does not mean that the United Kingdom will be in any way less united. Nor, indeed, does it mean that it will be any less European. And I want to speak to the millions of people, directly to the millions of people who did not vote for this outcome, especially young people.
Like John Oliver said it best Sunday night, just because it's in a British accent doesn't mean it's smart. Oh, my. My friend Paul Coyte is standing by.
Live from London,
who the other day said, look, I've looked at this. I've looked at it up and down, sideways, backwards and forwards. And you said, no, we're voting to stay. What happened, Paul?
I don't know. It's all a bit bizarre. I think if they did it again, I think if they said, right, okay, that's the practice go. Now we'll try again. I think it might even be a different result. I think everybody's going, oh, my goodness, I didn't realize this was so serious. So I didn't realize there was so much at stake. Everybody's talking on the TV. Now the Prime Minister's resigned. I didn't want that to happen. We didn't expect that. So and Donald Trump has landed in Scotland. So it's all going off here.
Are there people that think it's part of the penalty for giving up on the EU that Trump is in your country now?
Well, no, I think he's coming in there just to hedge his bets, and he might take over as prime minister. So, you know, that may be what it's for. I'm not really sure.
I just want you to know that I love your people, and I did not send Trump there for that reason.
Okay, thank you very much. You know, what was interesting is that Donald Trump actually tweeted the fact that, you know, I'm paraphrasing here, saying that, you know, the British, it's great to be here in Scotland, and they've spoken and they've done this. Whereas actually Scotland voted not to, they wanted to remain.
Yeah, Scotland overwhelmingly, right?
To stay in, yeah, they wanted to stay in Europe. So now there's probably going to be another referendum where the Scottish people are going to say, well, we want to stay in Europe, so we want to get away from this guy. You know what? I'm thinking maybe London should just be a country on its own. This is what we're thinking. We're getting a bit worried about what's happening to our country.
Well, it's happening here. People think Chicago should be its own state. So, you know, it's we share your pain. But
is there a way of twinning us up? Is there a way we could do that, maybe? And then we could be like one country, Chicago and London.
Sure.
And quite a distance apart. Is that possible?
Shalondon.
It's a working title.
Yeah, Shalondon.
We're already sister cities,
right? Luncago. I don't know. By the way, I texted you this morning in response to your text, which contained a naughty word. And my text did not contain the plan that I have for the Stexit.
Yeah.
The Stexit is, it could also be called the Pegxit. It's the Stephen Paul exit. Now, you might remember.
Oh, I like that.
I took the citizenship test for returning to the UK. That's my daughter's idea. I thought it was brilliant. You know, if Trump gets elected, we're all running. And we're leaving the country, and we're going back. We have to say we're sorry, which I did. You talked to the Queen specifically, I know.
Yes, I did. Yeah.
And I actually passed the British citizenship test so I could come home.
Yeah, with flying colors.
Well, not now. Well, you guys have lost your mind. So
could I do your test? I mean, would that be a possibility? Maybe
no, you don't want to come here. No, you don't want to come here. We got nothing but trouble. So here's what we're going to do.
Oh. Yeah, go on.
The Stexit means you and I are going to meet in Greenland. It's halfway between the two of us.
Oh, that sounds great. Because the ironic thing is that it's not green at all, though, is it? And that's what I like about it. I love that.
It's cold.
Let's go to Greenland. It's a big country and there's nobody there.
Yeah, there's plenty of parking. you know, we could pretty much make up our own laws and rules.
Well, there's a lot of glaciers, so maybe there's a lot of boat parking, too.
Yes, yeah. Oh, yeah, we're going to need
and
a boat.
Mooses. Is it a moose? Is the plural of moose, or is it mooses?
It's moose.
It's moose. Moose. More than one moose is moose.
That sounds strange for me.
All right, so what's going to happen to jolly old England?
Well, I'm not really sure. What's happening at the moment is that the EU have now come up and they're saying, you know, and Juncker, who is the man that runs the EU, and he wants it all done and dusted as soon as possible. Prime Minister has said, well, I want someone else to take over so they can pretty much deal with the mess that it's going to be. So I'm not really sure whether we have to just hand in a letter that says we formally resign or what goes on. I think it's all a little bit up in the air at the moment. And I'm just so surprised. I really didn't expect this.
Can you explain, though, this? Because it's going to take 2 years, apparently. 2 years to unravel all of this. And over the course of the 2 years, if the 26 other countries in the EU can't agree on every single clause of the contract to separate England from the EU, then you are kicked out without any sort of deal at all. Why can't this be a Simon Cowell reality show?
Well, it is turning into a bit. It is a bit like that. It's just that instead of four people on the panel, there's 26 people on the panel. That's all it is. It just takes longer for them to say, you know what, I'm going to hit the buzzer on this, and I want you out. Or maybe what they could do is open it up to the European public, and they could all phone in and vote to what happens to us. It's probably going to make more sense than anything else that's going on at the moment. So in answer to your question, I have no answer to your question.
Here's the deal. For anybody that knows the Eurovision Song Contest, this is like a very serious version of the Eurovision Song Contest that involves billions of dollars in international security. Now that's a reality show.
You know what? It is exactly like the Eurovision Song Contest. Well, I wouldn't say it's a more serious version because the Eurovision Song Contest is extremely serious. But they all hate us and nobody votes for us and we always come last or second to last. So no change there then.
I understand right now you can pick up Buckingham Palace for $8. The entire place,
$8. You know what? It's dropping. And you know what? And if you offered $8 now, they'd probably snap your hand off because it's probably going to be $5 by about 2 o'clock this afternoon. So, you know, it's who knows? The pound dropped to its, I think it was the biggest low that the pound has dropped to since, I think it was prehistoric times. That's
right.
How bad things are. They only had stones and bones that they used to trade. That's how bad it was then, and it's hit that time. So it's a bit of a worry. Although Boris Johnson, who, of course, I said I had a feeling that he wants to be prime minister, it's all coming to pass.
You called that, buddy. You called that a week ago.
Thank you. And his press conference today, for the first time ever, he had his hair combed. Now, what does that tell you?
It tells you he's serious. He tells you he's serious. That's exactly right.
Yes, sir.
Well, come here, England. Come here. Bring the whole country
over.
We're
Great Britain. It's not just England. It's all of us.
Come on, Great Britain. Great Britain, come over here. GB, come here. Can we get up on my... Oh, boy, that's heavy. Get up on my knees. Oh, man, that's heavy. Maybe a couple of less biscuits. Hello. And but I'm pulling for you, and it's just good to know that the people of the United Kingdom are just as foolish as we are.
You know what? We can actually do fake French accents now and not get into trouble for it. So things aren't so bad.
Yeah, can you imagine? He can't even take the tunnel to France because look at the trouble over there.
Yeah, that's going to be blocked in. They've already cast iron concrete in that. The thing about lunchtime.
You got to laugh so you don't cry. My best to your family. Hug your beautiful children and your wife, and I'll talk to you later.
Bless you, and love to you all, and have a lovely weekend.
All right, that's what's left of England and the UK. Paul Coy, that's
poor,
it. That's
Paul.
All that's left. You go on eBay right now, or Amazon, or Craigslist, you can buy up stuff in London like nobody's business.
Well, yeah, that's what Elise thinks. This is a bargain.
Tower of London, $15.
Tower of London's really cool.
It's not a real tower, though. It's only about 15 feet high.
I want the bridge.
You want the bridge?
Yes.
Let me take a look. Craigslist got the bridge in London, $37.50.
Cool.
Can I buy the eye, too?
Eye, the Ferris wheel?
The London Eye, yeah.
That's still a moneymaker. That's going to cost you $100.
I got it. I'm in.
Okay.
I'm in.
Before Donald Trump flew off to Scotland, he was here, and he sat down with Lester Holt. And Lester Holt gave a very tough interview. Very tough interview on the Trumpster. You might remember that Trump a couple of days ago in his speech, amongst other things, said Hillary Clinton was sleeping during Benghazi. Here's that.
You made some very bold claims about her that didn't stand up when we put it.
Well, you don't know if they stand up. What claim are you talking about?
Well, let's talk about your claim that she was asleep during the Benghazi attack that Ambassador Stevens was asking.
Were you there? Were you with her?
She has testified before the committee that she wasn't asleep. It happened during the daytime. There's no evidence that she was asleep.
It happened all during the day, and Doria was going on for a long period of time.
But I guess what I'm asking,
a long period of time. And she was asleep at the wheel. Whether she was sleeping or not, who knows if she was sleeping.
She might have been sleeping.
She might have been sleeping.
He said specifically she slept through the murder of the ambassador to Benghazi and three other brave men who were in the middle of it. Listen, you can't make it up. Lester Holt continues.
Made the claim that her personal email server had been hacked, suggesting that suggesting that she would be compromised as president. What evidence do you have?
Well, first of all, she shouldn't have had a personal server, okay? She shouldn't have had it. It's illegal. What she did is illegal. Now, she might not be judged that way because, you know, we have a rigged system. But what she did is illegal. She shouldn't have had a personal
server. But is there any evidence that it was hacked other than routine phishing attacks?
I read that and I heard it, and somebody that also gave me that information. I will report back to you. I'll give it to you.
But you said it with such certainty yesterday.
I don't know if certainty. Probably she was hacked.
Okay, you can't go from this absolutely happened to it probably happened and I'll get back to you. Especially when one of your main claims is she's the liar. And by the way, she is. She's the liar. She's a liar. She's a liar. She's a liar. If you're paying any attention at all, you know that Trump is just as dishonest as Hillary. Now, is that good news for America? No, not really.
Don't you love the Lester Holt retort, though, where he says, well, I heard that. Where?
Right.
I read it. Where?
Well, that's the thing. When you actually ask Trump these simple questions that he can't answer, he has two moves. One is, you don't know. You don't know. You don't know. He's 12. Wall Street Money might have to pay for Donald Trump. Remember the Wall Street Money thing with Hillary? It's a big problem for Hillary. Mm-hmm. Hillary takes all the Wall Street money. How's Trump going to pay for his campaign? Listen.
You've been critical of Hillary Clinton for taking Wall Street money. Will you take Wall Street money?
I'm taking very little. I'll tell you where we're doing.
But you
very
will take
well.
Some?
I don't know. I mean, we'll have to see who comes up. I mean,
but you won't take
I
a pledge not
down.
To take
let
Wall
me,
Street.
Let me tell you differently. I have turned down millions of dollars from people who I don't really want to give me money, okay? She's taken tremendous amounts of Wall Street money, but I put up my own money.
You made an appeal yesterday in your speech to Bernie Sanders voters to come over to Team Trump. You're asking people who support a democratic socialist to come over to you, a symbol of capitalism.
That's true. You know why?
Who just told me that he may or may not take Wall Street money.
Basically, Lester Holt just said, okay, monkey, dance. All right, here's the thing. Show me what you got. Now, one thing I want to come back before we get to go to the break and just be clear that you understand where I am on this. I was screaming about Benghazi in 2012 because I think it was incredibly poorly handled by the State Department, and I still stand by that. And for the families of Ty Woods and Sean Smith and Chris Stevens and Glenn Doherty, they deserve better and they deserve answers, and they did not get them from the Hillary Clinton State Department. That, however, does not mean that Hillary Clinton was sleeping or that she sat there and allowed them to be murdered on her watch. That's also not proven. So let's be clear. Let's tell the truth. The American people deserve it. And then they can do what too many people do now, make up their own stories and post them online. A couple of minutes before 8 on 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey. Yeah,
8:12 now. Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9. Well, I think we know what the big story of today is. You all right?
I'm okay.
The huge story today.
Yep.
It's not Pride Week. It's not the egg, the British exit from the European Union.
Those are all big stories.
Those are big, but not nearly as big as the public's reaction to Erin McElroy's new short haircut.
Oh, people are going crazy over it. How about you? What's
I think she looks beautiful.
It's gorgeous. She cut it kind of short. I don't know. I mean, I don't know how to describe it.
Kind of short would sum it up.
It's sure. Well, I'm sure that the like. You know, women might have a better description.
Well, let's go live to Andrea. What do you think of...
I don't know if that style is called something...
You know, I would maybe almost say kind of a crop or a wedge.
A crop wedge.
Yeah.
A bob?
Don't you use those
a bob? Is it a bob?
Club?
Yeah, I do.
You can never hit that club.
Yeah. But Erin McElroy's hair, the talk of television this morning.
It was. She had very long, flowing, beautiful red hair.
Right.
And it's kind of short this morning. And
by the way, she has sent it all to me, and I've duct taped it to my head.
I don't even want to think about how creepy that would be and how absolutely delighted you would be if that actually happened.
You should see
imagine how I'd look with long, flowing red hair. That'd be very amusing.
You know what? I would compare it to Anne Hathaway. Anne Hathaway's hair, which is a beautiful cut.
Yeah.
Beautifully
cut. Yeah.
A little bit like that.
Mm-hmm.
Steve, we have a bag full of hair for you.
You know what? That might be fun for the listeners, actually. If we could get Erin McElroy's hair, we'd win a bag of Erin McElroy's hair.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. She'd have to agree to that, because otherwise it'd be weird.
Listen, are you with Tribune Media or aren't you? Well, make me call Larry Word on this. I'll do it.
Company synergy. And just in the spirit of company synergy, I agree to do the same thing.
Oh, you're going to cut all your hair off?
Well, when it falls out, it falls out a lot faster than I can cut it. So.
I've mentioned this before. I have a brand new stylist. It's time. Time cuts my hair. Yeah, as it falls out as well.
I go to him, too.
So, by the way, I want to congratulate, speaking of company synergy, fearless leader Todd Manley. Robert Feeder at robertfeeder.com reporting that Todd Manley has a new contract today, and it's not with Comcast. He didn't re-up his cable situation. It's live from the Feeder column this morning. Todd Manley, new contract. Todd's going to be the boss for a while, kids.
Very nice. Very nice.
Congratulations to Todd.
I forget his fancy title that he's got now. He's basically like our boss.
He's vice president in charge of the universe.
Okay. Specifically. I knew it was something like that.
No, vice president of content, but there's other things too.
Couldn't be nicer, couldn't be smarter, couldn't be more pleasant.
Attractive fellow too.
And a very attractive fellow also.
Yeah, I believe he's head yogi. He's yogi master.
Yep.
Yeah.
Does yoga. Yeah, so it's all there.
I'm looking now. There's a title. There's a very nice quote in here from Jimmy DeCastro, the boss, on Todd Manley. And here's the weird part. I know he means it. You know, because most management, when they say something, you can't trust them. DeCastro, different story. So congratulations, Todd Manley. And we're lucky to have him. That's my point.
What's the quote?
Well, I couldn't find it fast enough. So I appreciate you pausing to try to have you find it. But I had it in front of me, and now I can't find it.
I know.
I'll look for it during the break. How's that?
I sort of knew that. And
you were just letting me hang?
A real friend would have just let it pass.
Yeah. It's like when Trump was talking to Lester Holt going, Dean, I'm going to have to get back to you on that. I'm going to send that to you. So I'm going to get you the quote.
I thoroughly enjoyed that.
The other thing, we'll give you the fast lane here in just a second, but the other thing is every time I look up at the Channel 9 monitors this morning, I see Dean talking to Dick Van Dyke. Listen, here's the deal. Dick Van Dyke's in a car. He's obviously trying to leave somewhere, and Dean won't stop talking.
It's not just a car. It's the Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
All right, you don't have to curse.
Oh, cool.
It's a replica of the Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Oh, that's where it is.
And he was in Danville. He's still in Danville, Illinois today. I went down there yesterday, and I got an exclusive one-on-one interview with him that we're playing back this morning. I'm going to play back a little bit of it. For you in a minute also, and we're going to play back the whole interview on my Sunday show. But you want to talk about nice people, accommodating, pleasant, professional. He's 90 years old. He's still singing. He's walking around singing and dancing with the high school students at Danville High. Could not be any nicer.
One of my favorite show business guys ever.
Absolutely.
Far and away. By the way, the Jimmy DeCastro quote, Todd makes it fun to come to work every day. He's a content musician, drives our incredible spoken word content across a multitude of platforms. Yep. I don't know what any of that means, but I know it's positive.
It sounds very Crane Chicago business to me.
Yeah, but that's great.
So, all I know is he's a great guy, and he's very inspiring to all of us that are on the air.
Well, this is different,
that's,
though.
That's what I know.
Reading deeper in the article, and it says, Jimmy DeCastro added Dick Van Dyke's a loser and will never make it in this business. I did not see that coming. It's a real shock to all of us.
By the way, I'm proud that I said chitty, chitty, bang, bang, and did not mess up the pronunciation of the two chitties.
Yeah, because you got to be careful with your chitties. You get on the air, you start saying chitty, chitty, chitty. Something's going to happen.
You're asking for trouble, as I have found out.
I hope you all have a chitty day. And stand by. More with Dean in just a moment, and we'll get to the fast lane of show business.
You can travel Chicago. You'll be calling his name.
Hey, Dean, good news. In celebration of Todd Manley's new deal, everybody at WGN Radio gets a shrimp cocktail. So congratulations.
Is that part of the deal?
It's Shrimp Cocktail Fridays. Pretty exciting stuff. All right, so Led Zeppelin settled the lawsuit.
Well, they did not settle the lawsuit. They won the lawsuit. They had this band that was claiming that they had stolen their song and turned it into Stairway to Heaven. The trial's been going on for a couple of weeks. Jury decided they did not steal.
Well, let's listen.
The two songs.
We've got Stairway to Heaven versus Spirit's 1967 song Taurus. Led first.
Which is, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And then a little bit of Spirit and Taurus. Now, I'd never heard this Spirit Taurus song. Have you?
Prior
to the lawsuit, I mean.
No, I have not.
Even in our old disc jockey days, I don't ever remember playing this record.
Don't ever remember it. My only exposure to Taurus was my neighbor drove one.
All right, here's Spirit and Taurus. Yeah, I don't hear it. I don't hear anything at all. Yeah, it's completely different.
Come on. They're the exact same.
How did the courts not make Led Zeppelin pay for that?
Well, I don't know. They
Well, come on. Didn't you hear the similarity?
I hear a similarity. I don't think it's exactly the same. I don't think it's that different from, I mean, really, I don't know the correct musician terms, but they're just sort of like noodling through the chords. I can think of like 10 other songs that also have.
How long are you going to be a suck up for Led Zeppelin in this business?
Something like that.
Year after year, Dean has been defending Led Zeppelin.
There's a Johnny Rivers song that's called "Summer Rain" to me that I think, I haven't heard it in many years, sounds more like the Spirit song than the Led Zeppelin song does.
Hmm. I think Dean's been trying the medical marijuana there at Channel 9 this morning. Is this "Summer Rain"?
It's just the beginning of the song, but and it's faster. But
so you're suggesting Led Zeppelin sues Johnny Mathis? Yeah, it's faster. Yeah, yeah. I don't, you know, listen.
That's why I got kicked off that jury.
All right.
I was asking for shrimp cocktail during all the breaks.
I want to hear your Dick Van Dyke story. So before we get to that, who are the Kennedy Center honorees? Quickly.
Mavis Staples.
Oh, fantastic.
Is getting inducted this year, as are the Eagles. They were supposed to have been inducted last year, but Glenn Frey was ill, since passed away in January. Al Pacino is also among this year's nominees, which is also very nice.
And Sinead O'Connor is okay, not okay. What do we know?
They said that she was missing again earlier this morning, that there were notes on social media that she was going to commit suicide. There have since been notes on social media, allegedly from her, saying that she doesn't know who posted that she's committing suicide. She's just happy about what's going on in the UK right now. It's just a whole big bag of crazy.
That doesn't sound like somebody jumping off a bridge, which is the alert we got last night. In a Pride parade on Sunday, will Bozo be there?
Bozo will be there. Tom Skilling will be there. You'll be there. I'll be there.
Is McElroy bringing her new hair?
I don't know if we have an Erin McElroy on the float this year. I'm going to have to check.
We'll have her send her hair. If she doesn't show up, just send her hair.
All right. I'll get you that bag of hair that you're...
Seventh caller wins Aaron McElroy's hair.
Creepily.
I'm going to tell her you guys are doing this. This is gross.
Well, we're just taking care of the listeners' needs.
This could be
the
greatest
radio contest ever.
Yeah. Win Aaron McElroy's hair.
But you have to tell her you're giving away her hair.
We don't, not anymore.
Not really. I mean,
she gave it away.
If it gets cut off and it's just, you know, sitting on the floor,
yeah.
who's to say who should sweep it up and what happens to it afterwards?
You know what?
Does she really need to know that? I've never asked, what are you doing with my hair when I go get a haircut?
You know what? She's right. It is creepy. All right. So you loved your Dick Van Dyke talk. Can we hear a little bit of it?
We can. We talked for like 20 minutes. We're going to play the whole interview on Sunday morning. He just could not be any nicer. And we talked about his history in Danville. We talked about his history with Walt Disney, because it's significant that on Sunday he's going to be at the Walt Disney home, the home that Walt Disney grew up in Chicago, 2156 North Trip. And they're going to do a presentation there. He's going to sing Let's Go Fly a Kite there with a bunch of kids, which should be amazing. And then he's going to be at the Tivoli Theater in Downers Grove at 5 o'clock that day.
Right.
And putting on like a little stage show. So it's amazing. But so he talked about Disney, talked about making Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, talked about making Mary Poppins, and, of course, about his classic The Dick Van Dyke Show. You know, and I asked him, you know, how the show has survived for more than 50 years in rerun heaven. What keeps bringing people back? And he had a two-word answer to that.
Carl Reiner, just brilliant. You know, at the very outset, he said, I don't care how silly you get, as long as it's credible, as long as possibly there's a reason that happened. You know, I don't want any funny stuff for no reason. So he kept it credible, kept everybody believable. And of course, the greatest cast that was ever put together. It was part of Maury Amson used to say, it's like going to a party every morning.
Yeah.
We rewrote all week, did a lot of improv, and it was just, I'd still be doing it if they let me.
Yeah.
I miss it.
You wanted to continue, didn't
you? Oh, I never wanted to stop.
It's CBS that wanted to stop. Well, and then Carl, they tried to blame it on you, didn't they?
That's what I read.
That's what I read in your book. They're trying to blame it on you, and you didn't want to stop.
No, Carl said at the beginning, 5 years would be it. He felt that you got repetitive after that. But look at shows that ran 11 years. And we could have gone on. The first year he wrote all 39 episodes by himself.
Wow.
All my leading ladies, I've lucked out. Wonderful. Mary, Tyler Moore, and Julie Andrews. Everybody's just been a doll. I've never had to put up with one of those divas.
Yeah. Have you ever had that kind of chemistry again with a cast, with a group of people? That seems like lightning in a bottle.
We were like an improv group. Somebody could give us a subject and we could do it without a script. It was just one of those great moments when everything was fun to do. The most creative 5 years of my life.
You still remember the words of the theme song, don't you? We know the instrumental, but
Maury Amson wrote them.
Yeah.
He never published them. As far as I know, he never licensed them. But I have the quartet singing, just because it's cute.
Could I get just a little preview?
I'm a little hoarse this morning. Said, so you think that you've got trouble? Well, trouble's a bubble. So tell old Mr. Trouble to get lost. Why not hold your head up high and stop crying, start trying, and don't forget to keep your fingers crossed. When you find the joy of living is loving and giving, you'll be there when the winning dice are tossed. A smile. It's just a frown that's turned upside down. So smile on that frown or defrost. And don't forget to keep your fingers crossed. I don't fall down anymore.
How about that?
That's unbelievable. He's 90.
He is 90 years old and just really is a...
I'm 55. I can't find my car. He's 90.
Couldn't be nicer. Couldn't be funnier. Couldn't be... more professional. I mean, it's a dream
come
true to talk to him. But when they turn out to be as nice as he is, it's just an extra special treat. And you can get information on either seeing him at the Walt Disney Home on Sunday at 1 o'clock or the Tivoli at 5 o'clock if you go to thewaltdisneyhome.org. They've got all the information, times, and how to buy tickets and all that sort of thing.
Yeah, and they're doing a big fundraiser, I know, too, that he's a part of. I think that's Saturday night, right?
For the Dick Van Dyke Foundation, which it provides money to kids in the arts who, you know, don't have a lot of opportunities for them. In fact, a lot of programs, he talks about this in the interview, how programs in schools for the arts, for drama, for music are all being cut. And so he's providing money to help bring some of that stuff back, and also for the restoration of his own childhood home that's in Danville.
It's cool. Nice story. What time are you running on Sunday?
It's going to be on at 9:35 on Sunday morning.
That's Dean Richards. I'll see you at the parade as well. And at 8:32, we're back after this with a big story on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Holy smoke! Holy showcase! Holy haberdashery! Holy popcorn! Holy flypaper! Holy ravioli!
Possibly my all-time favorite. Holy ravioli. Last week, Burt Ward was scheduled to appear, and he and, I'm not sure if it's his girlfriend or his wife, they do an amazing thing with dogs, with rescue dogs.
Rescue dogs, yeah.
And I believe, at that time, we can ask Burt, he's going to join us in just a second, I believe, at that point, he was coughing up a furball, because he's got a lot of dogs, and there's a lot of dogs in his life. Yeah. Oh, Burt Ward, standing by. Let's join him right now. Good morning, Mr. Ward.
Hello, citizens.
I said you missed us last week because you were coughing up a furball. Is that true?
Well, no. Unfortunately, we had to rush dogs to the hospitals that had gotten hurt, and we have to save their lives. And, you know, with 22 years of rescuing, I tell everybody I was the Cape Crusader, and now I am the Canine Crusader.
Amen to that. How many do you have?
Well, we've rescued in the last 22 years 15,500. At all times, we have more than 50 in our home. We operate the world's largest giant breed dog rescue. We have giant dogs that stand as tall as 7'5", weigh up to 300 pounds, pure muscle. And we have 45 different breeds, including little tiny dogs that as adult weigh 2 pounds. And what's happened in the last 22 years, this is all charity. We're a licensed IRS charity, just like, you know, Muscular Dystrophy or United Way or March of Dimes, just like that. But and my wife and I take nothing from it. I mean, we have no salary. We've rescued these dogs. And in the course of rescuing them and always having a minimum of 50 in my home, okay, you get to a point where you want them to live the longest, healthiest, happiest life possible. And we developed, first of all, a feeding and care program that on average has added 3 years to every dog's life. So in the case of our Great Danes that normally only live 7 to 9 years, we now have them living 10 to 12 years. And then we developed a food called Gentle Giants, which is available in stores. It's in Walmart and online, Amazon, Walmart.com.
And it's food for big breeds.
No, for all dogs.
Oh, it is.
We have dogs called, have you ever heard of a Chinese Crested? It's one-third the size of a Chihuahua. Chihuahuas weigh 5 to 6 pounds. Chinese Crested weigh 2 pounds as an adult. We feed the same food to the 2-pound dogs that we feed to the giant 295-pound foods. We feed the same gentle giants to 3.5-week-old puppies that are no longer want to nurse the mother, to the same dogs
wow.
that are 27.
Well, people are going to ask, out. Hold on, Bert, take a breath. Somebody's going to ask, first off, Gentle Giant is the food, and people are going to want to know Gentle where. Giant. So you said Walmart, right?
Yes, Walmart, and if it's not in your local Walmart, it's online. In fact, it was a few months ago that the largest newspaper in Arkansas, called the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, came out with a great article in their business section that said, Boy Wonder, Walmart, team up to better feed man's best friend. We take nothing, no money, no salary from this food. This is all about giving back and loving dogs. I'm so excited.
Well, you are excited. I can tell. As a matter of fact, time to take you for a walk. But here's the thing.
I don't need to breathe.
This is the 50th anniversary of Batman, and now people exactly. who really know Burt Ward know that his love of dogs has outweighed his love of show business by a million miles. But
not exactly, because this year, and I'm not allowed to say too much about it, but something very big is coming. Adam and West and I are doing a major project together that's coming out later this year, and I'm not allowed to say.
Well, hold on a second. What do you mean you're not allowed to say? What are you two going to do together? The Odd Couple? Of course you're going to do a redo, aren't you?
Well, all I can say is just imagine everything that everybody loved that we did in the past
yeah.
combined with all the latest stuff that came out to make something that is greater than the sum of its parts is coming. Okay? And Adam
holy
and I,
mysteries, Burt Ward.
Yeah, wait a minute. And we've just been submitted to the Guinness Book of Records as the only two actors in history that have worked together 50 years later.
Well, that's great. That's great. And do you stay in touch when you're not working together?
Well, we're always out making appearances. We sign autographs.
Sure.
And we hold Arena Records right there in your beloved Chicago at McCormick Place.
Sure.
We had, I think it was 178,000 people in a weekend come out to see us.
Well, you know what? Why wouldn't you? I grew up on Batman and Robin. I tried to climb the side of my house. I fell right off the side of my house. I still don't know how he did it. You know, and Frank
you
Gorshin.
You have to do it carefully.
Frank Gorshin wasn't there, you know, giving me a hard time. I didn't have Milton Berle popping his head out of Milton Berle's apartment. I just tried to climb the side of my house. It was very.
Exactly.
It's a very entertaining show. And unlike so many shows from decades gone by, it holds up because it's still funny. You know, you still see it. It's still funny. You know what? You did.
Absolutely.
You did good work, Burt Ward.
Well, you know, we had a great time. We brought a lot of happiness to people. I got to tell you, I go out and I sign autographs, and people come up. And, you know, for the moment that they're there, when they say hello, all of a sudden they stop talking to these adults like adults. And sometimes they revert to their child and they said, oh, I remember I always wanted to be Robin or I always wanted to be Batman, you know, and like the wife will say, oh, and I was in love with Batman or I was in love with Robin. I mean, they go back to their childhood, and that's what makes it so entertaining for Adam and I.
Now, did you have back in the day, I don't know how long you've been married. Did you have back in the day Robin groupies? We know there were Batman groupies. Did you have Robin groupies?
Is the Pope Catholic?
Well, I knew answer. I knew the answer. I just wanted to hear it from you.
Of course. And we always were out there doing everything we could to please our fans. Okay? We're very fan-oriented, okay? And Adam, we had the greatest time making Batman. We've always been great friends. And you know something? We love the show. We love the characters. And it, what a marvelous opportunity to do things that have brought so much happiness to so many people.
Sure.
And it's because of that that I've kind of continued. And that's why, you know, in my own little way, with my wife, who we've been married 27 years, you know, we do this dog rescue. It's always doing something to make lives better. You know, it was Batman, it was making human lives better. With Gentle Giants, it's making dogs'
yeah,
lives better.
There you go.
It's doing something and being active.
Now, Gentle Giants, when you buy Gentle Giants food, you help support the work that Burt Ward and his wife do to keep these dogs healthy, and there's a minimum of 50 at any given time. The other great news, if you don't like to throw parties, I don't know how many parties you can have at the house with 50 dogs, Burt.
None. How about none? But I will tell you this. What we've actually done, because, you know, there's so many people out there that don't have a lot of money that would love their dog, and so what do? We actually priced our food to be at cost. In other words, there isn't any profit to even donate to the rescue.
Well, how are you paying for this?
Cost.
What are you well, still fighting crime? Are you still taking money from bad guys on the street? How are you paying for all this?
Well, I was very fortunate when I met my wife. She was the daughter of one of America's most successful men, and I also had done very well. And everything we do, we don't spend anything on ourselves. We actually take our money and we spend it, and we will do that for the rest of our lives, taking care of dogs and helping people. I mean, we have people that come to us that have adopted dogs 3 years ago, and now the dog has cancer and they can't afford an operation. We just paid for $7,500 for somebody else's dog that adopted from us to have that dog have a leg taken off, and now the dog didn't die. And even though it's only got three legs, it's relearned how to run and play and is living a wonderful life. We are very charity-oriented people. And this, you know, we are in a position that we can do whatever we want. And my wife has been a philanthropist for her whole life with, you know, tremendous background in business. And all she wants to do is care for dogs. We could be on some island, you know, sipping, iced teas because we don't drink. But we don't do it. We care for animals. This is our life's work. And we love people, and we know that everybody that has a dog, all you have to do is ask them, you know, ask them, how long would you like your dog to live? And everybody says the same thing,
forever.
Of course.
Well, because they live such short lives, why not, if you're in a position to help and your position to change the world? I mean, life is the most precious commodity in the world.
Congratulations on the success. I love your passion. We have a guy here who's like you. His name is Steve Dale. I'd like to hook you two up and then just let you guys talk to each other about dogs. We could power the entire nation and just supply it all. So hold the line, if you would, please. If there's any websites or anything we need to plug, please ask Bert that before we hang up. But, man, is he wired? Is he fired up?
Oh, completely.
Fired up, baby. Fired up.
So much energy.
That's exactly right.
But how awesome.
Holy passion!
How awesome is that, though, that these dogs would have nowhere to go?
I think it's great.
One has three legs.
Gentle giant is the food. By the way, that conversation about the 50th anniversary of Batman. But he still loves that, too. And what else could he be doing other than getting together with Adam West to do another Batman? Come on.
It's got to be that, unless it's maybe they're making a guest appearance. Because Adam West does a lot of guest appearances. He was on Big Bang Theory.
Yeah, but it's got to be more than that.
Yeah.
Victor Posner is his father-in-law. Victor Posner is 83. He's an American businessman, is one of the highest paid executives of his generation, kind of a pioneer of the leverage buyout. Pretty controversial figure, actually. Back in the 80s, or I should say he was 83. He died a few years ago.
And his wife, Tracy, is an actress.
She is?
Yeah, she was in Assault of the Party Nerds and The Heavy Petting Detective.
Oh, yeah.
Holy ravioli!
That's exactly the right answer.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
In times of trouble, with the world on the edge of falling off the cliff. There it is, doom, dead ahead. There's only one man that can save us. It's John Williams. Now, he's always wanted a monarchy. And I don't know that we could deliver the monarchy because the monarchy has left the building. But I know that if John's willing to run, I'm willing to endorse him.
And he would look good on currency.
And I'll be one of his Secret Service agents, which is great for John, because if a bad guy is close enough for me to catch him, and by that I mean within my reach, I would protect him.
Wow. Thank you for that.
Yeah. So think about it. All I'm saying is think about it.
Thank you for that.
This morning, John Williams, we are doing the Stegxit. I was planning.
Stegxit?
Yes.
Oh, Steve Exits, yeah.
Yeah. I was planning on going back to England after Trump's elected.
Yeah.
And now I can't do that. So the Stegxit plan is this, and you're welcome to join me. We are moving to Greenland. It's halfway between London and Chicago.
I just, like Andrea's, I want to just contemplate for a minute me on currency. What a nice gesture, Andrea. Thank you for that.
I think you would look great on currency.
I don't know. I don't photograph well.
But first of all, you're very photogenic.
No.
You have beautiful hair. And you would look great in, and this is going to come off a little weird, you would look great in different poses on the different currencies, like on the pound, 5 pounds.
Why are you and John having a private conversation on the air?
Sorry, I love John. Yeah.
Hi, Steve.
Sorry, John.
How are things at Vibe Score?
Good. Thank you for asking. It's that little app that we promoted about a year ago on all of the shows there on WGN, and it was fun, and it's going well. It's kind of plateaued, I'll be honest with you, Steve.
We need more signups. You Android or you iPhone people, get on VibeScore and tell us what you think about topics.
Yeah, that's my problem, too. You don't have, like, $75,000 I can borrow.
You know, I don't right now. Todd Manley just signed a new deal.
I saw that. He's probably got $75,000.
Is that what it costs to design an app now?
You would be amazed. The code writing is, that's what we should have done. We first should have learned to write code.
You know what's funny about this, though? To me, code writing?
Yeah?
To me, how do you know? How do you know? It's like when you go to the mechanic, if you don't know what makes your car go, how do you know they did what they said they did? I know you got to trust people, and it's a world where you got to believe people are doing what they say. But the code writers, how do you know it took them as long as it took them? Maybe they just put 10 ones and 10 zeros together.
That is so true, because we have people in China. We have people in Brazil. They write code for us. And we say, listen, the happy face in the corner, we need it over like a centimeter on the screen.
Right.
Literally, this is what happens. And so they say, okay, that'll be a week. That'll be 82 billable hours. And you go, okay.
What?
And so then it comes back, and it's over 3 centimeters. And you go, no, I want it over 1 centimeter. And they go, okay, well, that'll be 42 more hours. You go, oh, please, don't do this.
Don't do it is right. Now, the code writers are apparently interrupting. Either that or you're doing a cartoon voice. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm just thinking about the app. But I'm good.
All right, hold on. Hold on a second. This is either very... Now, should I continue the interview with John doing the cartoon voice? Or should we have John redial?
Have John redial. But it did sound cute. It does sound cute when he's the cartoon voice.
We'll take a break and reconnect with John Williams in a second. 720 WGN.
Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own.
You are listening to station WGN.
.918 For those of you who have an opportunity this afternoon or any afternoon, you can listen to John Williams on WCCO in Minneapolis. Of course, you hear him every weekend here. We have a little problem with John's super fancy mechanical hookup that, I don't know, did you run out of gas? Did the hamster stop running?
No, that was the European exit. The phone lines are going down now.
All right, so where were we? We were talking about Vibe Score. So what is Vibe Score showing on Brexit, or is it too early?
You know, that's a good question. We will put a question up later today asking, you know, here's what VibeScore does. It's an app that I developed with my cousin Tom Hegberg. It's sort of a news aggregator. You follow different categories that are of interest to you, the news, Chicago sports, et cetera. We then feed you news in that category, but we ask you a scorable question at the end. I believe your son said it's called scoring the news, and
right,
that's kind of a good description of it. So we'll ask you maybe what your vibe is, how – you know, sad or yet optimistic are you for maybe America in this case? I have a bad vibe right now, Steve, so we'll sort of get the pulse of people. We're asking Cub fans how they feel right now, having lost four in a row. What's your vibe for the Cubs right now? And it's down a little bit from what it was earlier.
Yeah, I don't think it's time to panic yet.
No, I don't either. I mean, shoot, we can lose to the Cardinals, but I like it when we win all of our games. So
right. You're funny that way.
That's more fun. So that's the Vibe Score app, and you can download it for free. And I appreciate you giving me a chance to mention that.
Yeah, and by the way, I know you always get questions about the Android types like me. Can you go direct online? Can I just jump online and do it?
Nope, can't do that either.
Okay, so I've got to get an iPhone. I was trying to work. That's why you need the $75,000. But the point is, Android users, you can do it on your iPhone or your iPad.
Yes.
I have an iPad.
Well, then you can do it.
Christian Decker,
one of our producers, does that.
Yeah, there you go. All right, so let's talk about the latest installment of John Thinks the Dead Presidents Are Still Alive. What's happening and where?
In the course of this question and answer, are you going to say Millard Fillmore? Because you always make fun of this thing I do.
No, you throw in a Millard Fillmore
joke.
No, there's not a Millard Fillmore joke. You didn't hear about this. You can get in. Dean and I are developing, because of Hamilton, Millard the Musical. It's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, they even have the dancing Fillmores.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
And since it's pre-1865, we've got great show-stopping tunes like Keep the White House White, you know, and that type of stuff. Totally close-minded, narrow-minded Millard Fillmore jokes, end to end.
So we're there.
Good answer, John.
The point is, I got the Millard material in. I don't have to use it on you.
Well, here's what we need. We need a president we can all rally behind, and so that's Teddy Roosevelt. We do these stage shows, if you will. It's like a one-man show where Roosevelt walks onto stage, but with me, I question and answer him. He makes fun of my tie. He is bombastic and braggadocious and hilarious and inspiring, and you really believe that's Roosevelt there. And then the audience gets to ask questions, too, and I think this, if ever there was an interesting year for these presidential conversations, Roosevelt, August 13th at the College of DuPage, or Jefferson in the fall, it's this year.
Now, I know you think I'm just another pretty face, but there's a book called The Bully Pulpit.
Yes.
By Doris Kearns Goodwin, who is far and away one of the great historians of all time, not just presidential historians, which I read a couple of years ago. It's great.
Yeah.
And there's so many historical things that cycle even a century plus ago. So I'm not coming to this party without a little knowledge here, buddy. I'm a big Teddy Roosevelt fan. I got you.
Well, it's funny how many people come with notes, and they'll say, all right, so in 1902, you were speaking to the Chicago Chamber of Commerce, and, you know, he's way ahead of us on this.
Sure.
He finishes the quotes, my guy. So bring your best game if you like. I like his chances at, you know, not only knowing the references, but then the trick, Steve, is – okay, so this guy knows history we think like we're talking to Teddy Roosevelt, but what have you got for me now?
Right.
What can we, you know, what would his advice be to Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump, or to any of us for that matter? That's really the reason I think people keep coming back to these shows, because if it was just a guy who knows the Roosevelt shtick really well, you'd only need to see it once. But we have people that have seen these shows 5, 6, 7 times, because every year it's a different set of questions and issues, and so you kind of want to learn from them all over again.
Yeah, because you're got Teddy Roosevelt. I'm telling you, he can riff on anything. Anything you throw at him, and for Teddy Roosevelt being the type of person he was before he became president, sure, he was a member of the establishment, but he didn't play by the rules. He was his own man. So what is he going to say about Trump? That's pretty fascinating stuff.
And I don't know. I mean, in some ways, there's some symmetries between the two of them. There really is. But if I may, Roosevelt was much more literate. I mean, he read a book a day, and he wrote books, and he was... He had a brilliant mind, but he was a cowboy. He was, you know, he was sort of outside the establishment, even though he had one foot in. When he was vice president, McKinley gets assassinated and he becomes president. Everybody slapped their heads and said, "Oh my God, we're screwed. Now what?"
Right.
So I don't know if that's your attitude about Hillary becoming president or Donald Trump or Bernie Sanders. You go, "Oh man, how will we ever survive this?" Well, we did. It was Teddy Roosevelt.
There are always those moments, and the Union prevails, the United States survives, and we go on. But be honest, haven't you thought about it a little bit with Trump? Huh? A little bit? Come on, please.
A little bit? Oh, man.
Keeping you up at night?
Really, with all of the – trust me, I'm with you on that. And that's why we need this show, because it's very funny, too, and it's inspiring. And you're right. It does make you believe that we as a system and a country are better than any single individual, you know. So
right, yeah, but normally we don't have to beat the guy that gets the gig. It's Tuesday, June 28th, the tickets will go on sale. Saturday, August 13th is the show. These shows always sell out, so get them early. And the return of Teddy Roosevelt, presented by Conasec and Dillon and sponsored by Visit Springfield. Nice stuff, John Williams. Appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
Have a good
and by
show
the way, Steve, the web address to go to is WGNradio.com/events. That's where the phone number and website to click through to buy the tickets will open up on Tuesday.
All right. Excellent. Enjoy your weekend. That's John Williams. 925, back after this on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
One of your most important duties yesterday on the Rokan Show was talking Kevin Powell off the ledge after Win a Date with Kevin.
Was a little bit flustered by the fact that so many of the questions dealt with food. you know, it seems to me there were other questions to be asked in this situation.
Start with Colleen here. Do you prefer Polish sausage, Italian sausage, or bratwurst?
That said, Tom Skilling is wondering why he agreed to come on. Kevin Powell joins us to, as usual, claim we're going to talk baseball. By the way, Kev, and you know, I got Kevin's back. Kev's our guy, even though he abandoned the show and he hates us.
But
I thought Kevin's questions, I heard most of the segment, I thought Kevin's questions were brilliant.
And they're all food related. Thanks.
Well, because if you're going to date someone, you want to date someone who you share mutual interest in. Like, you know, people who smoke meats.
Encased meats.
Those questions meant a lot to me. You know, what kind of favorite encased meat? What would be your final meal? Things like that. Those questions meant more to me than, say, I don't know, describe a perfect date or something like that.
Yeah.
Wait, like final meal on Earth?
Yeah, if you could have one meal as your last meal, what would it be?
God.
Right.
Now, he didn't add the part where if you killed a guy and, you know, you're being put to death by the government.
Could have worded it a little bit differently, but they got the gist of the question. And both great responses, by the way.
And very nice girls and very accomplished women, which is why they probably have nothing to do with you. But wasn't one a doctor and one a lawyer or something?
Yeah, one's a dentist, one's a lawyer.
Dentist and lawyer, there you go.
It was Kate versus Colleen in the final round. And Kate came out on top, but they ended up becoming like best friends. And after the segment, they were talking and they decided they both want to go on a date with me at the same time. So it's going to be all three of us. It's going to be a three-way date.
I think he had that dream.
I thought he was going to say something totally different. Like they met each
Kevin's
other.
Kevin's already writing a letter to a magazine that no longer exists. I never thought it would happen to me.
It's like The Bachelor. They call
there I was doing sports on the Rokan Show.
And sure enough.
And they call it the two-on-one date, and you have to get rid of one after the date.
That's not what Kevin's thinking.
No.
Yeah. That's right. First it was one, then it was three. Me and Kev and Kev and me, and let's ring her too. Yeah. I can supply them my pillows. What?
Perfect. And one of those mattresses.
Hold on a second. It's not one of those mattresses. It's one of those fine mattresses from Mattress Firm. And by the way, both clients want nothing to do with you.
It is kind of funny, that they both want each other on the date as well as Kevin.
Wait, do you want to explain why that is?
No.
That's a safety valve, right? It's the woman's bringing the other girl.
Yeah, we'll call it that.
Yeah.
Right.
Uh-huh. Bringing the other girl to make sure that she doesn't, in case Kevin turns out to be a huge loser.
That's definitely the case. So they're in for some hurting.
So, listen, we know you're having a great time on the Real Con Show. Yeah, whatever. You're doing a great job covering baseball. And here you go. The Cubs have lost four in a row. We just break them up now, or do we wait?
No, just wait. I think, when you build a 12.5 game lead in your division, it's down to 9 now. Still no reason to panic, but they've got some injuries. Dexter Fowler's out of the lineup. He, to me, other than the pitching staff, has been the MVP of the team, because what he does to that lineup and the way he transforms that, it's been extremely important this season. He was sort of slumping over the past few weeks before they put him on the DL. It was more of a precautionary thing, and now Anthony Rizzo's been out of the lineup, and the bullpen really hasn't been great. So an offense that was formidable, unstoppable through majority of the season has hit a little lull here. I don't think there's any reason to panic. I think, again, when you build that sort of lead in your division, it gives you the luxury to bring up all these guys from the minors and sort of transition them into the roster and keep them in a comfortable spot. So there's no reason to panic. The bullpen will get shored up when they make some moves at the deadline. They've said multiple times they want to add arms to the bullpen. So just sort of a weird time for them. Some injuries sort of slowing them down here.
Andy Mazur's here. And, Andy, do you have a baseball question for Kevin Paul?
Well, you know, I'm talking about the bullpen. I think a lot of people forgot that the Cubs signed Joe Nathan, a guy that's got a ton of saves in his big league career. He actually made his first appearance in the minors the other day and pitched pretty well. So this is like a trade you don't have to give anybody up for. If this works out, you bring him up, and this is a guy with a lot of experience in the pen.
Yeah, it's one of those low-risk, high-reward situations. You bring him on, and I think it's going to be a 30-day stint down there, Andy. Correct me if I'm wrong. But
it's a 30-day opt-out, yeah.
30 opt-out. So they were planning on, when they initially signed him, the hope was to get him in sometime mid to late July. So it seems like he's on track for that now. But, yeah, low risk, high reward, and a guy that you add, and if things go well, he can be a huge asset down the stretch and something they didn't even have to really give up much to get him. So it's not like they had to give another piece to acquire him. And, he's somebody that if he's pitching the way he used to, when he was absolutely dominant, that's a huge signing for them.
Meanwhile, the White Sox quietly had a great week in Boston.
Yeah, I think it was Alex Avila who called it the best baseball they've played all year. I mean, this is the most unpredictable White Sox team I can remember. You know, they get swept, and then they go to Boston, one of the best teams in the American League, one of the best offenses, and they really had a good chance to sweep them. Would have been the first four-game sweep for the Sox in Boston since 1927. So, obviously not easy to do, but it's weird. I can't predict what this team's going to do next. I mean, they could lose the next 8 games or they could go on an 8-game winning streak. It's sort of been an up-and-down year, and James Shields finally put something decent together. 5 innings, 3 earned runs. That's after getting shelled in his last 4 starts. So
yeah, it's not good it's not good that that's a good outing.
I was going to say, isn't that a bad thing to say? Boy, he put together 5 great innings of 3 run and 5 hits.
I remember coaching Little League where 5 innings he gave up 3 runs would be a good outing. Andre, I have a question for your old friend.
We miss you, and I miss your food review. So I'm wondering, how do they feed you guys at the ballparks? And put your biases aside. Better food.
It's interesting to bring this up because Bruce Levine is a great guy.
Yeah.
Bruce Levine has kind of godfathered Kevin into this new world of, hanging out in press boxes with creeps. Mm-hmm. and is Bruce become your food father?
Well, Bruce knows his way around. I mean, Bruce is friends with the staff. I mean, everybody knows Bruce.
And Bruce is homeless. Bruce doesn't have a house. He lives in press boxes.
I don't think he needs a house. He never leaves the ballpark.
Right.
So I think that's fine if he stays there. But I'll say this. I think a majority of us can all agree that if you're going as a fan, as a spectator, that on the South Side, there's no question the food is better for the fans.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, but I agree with that. Sure.
I would say
absolutely
so too. Yeah, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, yeah.
But in terms of the media, and I'm not saying the media food at the cell is bad, but it's normally just your traditional hot dogs and Polish sausage, which I'm totally fine with. And they got some snacks there. But for the Cubs games at Wrigley, they have this media lounge and they cook up full meals.
Oh,
and there's,
nice.
There's full meals and there's sandwiches and there's cookies. So I actually, in terms of media food, I got to give the upper hand to the Cubs here.
Oh, it's nice.
All right. Well, there you go.
I would agree on both accounts.
You would.
Yeah, Andy's been there. You know.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Kevin. And you'll be back on the Rokon Show this afternoon?
Yes, I will. 3 o'clock, 3 to 7.
Hold on 1 second. Just checking to see if any memos have come in. Nope. Yeah. It looks like you'll be back on between 3 and 7.
Perfect. Thank God. That's a relief.
Hey, here's your suck-up tip for the day. Todd Manley, your boss, has just signed a new contract.
I know. I heard you guys talk about it. That's awesome. Coach Manley.
Yes, you might want to pick him up something on the way in.
Sounds good. Thank you for the tip.
All right.
A leftover brat.
That's Kevin Paul.
So is he trying to get credentials now for these girls to go take him to, like, a media dining room to eat?
That'd be nice.
He
credentials the girls and he takes them to the Cubs dining room.
I've got some connections on the north side. I can try to work on that.
Absolutely do. It's a hot date for the ladies.
He's having fun. Hey, this entire hour is sponsored by the Illinois Department of Transportation.